That's Roll With It from the Brothers Gallagher, rolling in it as they take their reunion tour to Croke Park tomorrow and Sunday before heading for Canada next week. Their first concerts here since Slane in 2009, shortly before they broke up after almost two decades and seven studio albums. And there's great excitement today, as there always is when Sons of Mayo are about to face a packed Croke Park, especially among those 160,000 with tickets that they paid through the nose for to see 250-something men try to bring them back to the 1990s for one night only. Nadine O'Regan will be there. She's a journalist with the Irish Times and, like me, a hopeful time traveller to the era just before mobile phones and all that. Morning, Nadine.
Good morning. That was beautifully put.
Are you excited?
I'm very excited, and I think it is as much for, you know, that nostalgia element of going back to, in my mind, to the 90s when I suppose music really leapt from the music pages to the front pages, with particularly Oasis really spearheading the Britpop movement, as it was called at that time. This is an opportunity for, you know, 160,000 plus fans to have a mass sing-along in Croke Park and recall some of the greatest songs from Oasis, particularly from the early years. They're going to be playing a lot of material from those first two albums that really made them.
What does Oasis mean to you?
Oh, Oasis to me, I mean, I remember when they first emerged, and I was a grunge fan, so found it very difficult to really understand where all this hype and attention was coming from, because you have to remember at the time, you know, it was quite difficult to access music. So hype came to you in the form of the music press, the Enemy, Vox, Q. So we were hearing and reading about these bands before we were actually hearing the music in a lot of instances. So by the time, definitely maybe actually, by the time I had a copy of it in my hands, I'd already read a lot about the band, and I was prepared actually not to like them because they seemed a little bit laddish, maybe not really my cup of tea. But then I put the album on, and to be honest, I was converted. I mean, they were a band who sounded like a gang. They were so confident in their presentation, their delivery of those songs. Simple songs, very influenced by the Beatles, but brilliantly done. I mean, Live Forever, Supersonic, Champagne Supernova, these are classic songs.
Is there a better debut album?
Oh, that's a really good question.
I mean, with the exception of the Stone Roses, for whom in 1994, in the summer when Definitely Maybe came out, we were still waiting for the second album.
Yeah, yeah. And actually, I was just talking to a friend yesterday about going to see the Stone Roses in more recent years. And she was like, be careful of going to reunion gigs because it wasn't one of their better days, let's say. But, you know, as a debut album, I mean, of course, you can think of many, and immediately when you said it, I just thought of Fontaine's DC, because, you know, when bands are coming out these days, you really want to make a splash. And Fontaine's DC are one of the only bands in recent times that I thought to myself, wow, they have it. You know, they have that raw energy, that raw power. But of course, there's so many classic debuts that you could look back to. And I mean, Stone Roses, of course, but Sex Pistols and Nirvana, obviously. And yeah, I think there's a lot of, you know, early albums from, like, well, I mean, Kate Bush, obviously. I mean, her first single was Wuthering Heights. How do you top that? So there were plenty of amazing debuts out there, but Oasis certainly ranks high.
So what's your plan for tomorrow?
Oh, well, I mean, I'm actually going on the Sunday,
so I'll
be watching on tomorrow. But on the Sunday, there'll be pre-event gigs or kind of events happening around the city. So we might go along to one of those. I've got friends coming up from West Cork and from abroad. And really the plan is just to, I mean, will we put on the bucket hats early? Will we put on the zippy tops and listen to some Oasis? Very likely there will be a bit of pre-gig rituals going on and playing the music. And then heading down, the doors are open at 5:00. And Cast are supporting along with Richard Ashcroft from The Verve. So, you know, we might get in early and try and catch definitely Richard Ashcroft, I would say. The band are on stage around 8:00 and they're expected to play for around two and a half hours. So we'll want to get there early as well. I mean, look, it's going to be jammed in terms of getting across the city. So everybody's going to be thinking about transport. And it is one of those things, do not bring a car, don't even dream of it. And yeah, we'll be jumping on the bus, I'd say.
You and I are among the many trying to relive our youth tomorrow or over this weekend, but there will be a lot of people there that are either too young to remember or weren't there the first time round. What's behind their second coming?
I mean, I suppose, you know, from the band's perspective, one of the things they've done really well over the years is, and I'm not saying they've done it on purpose, but when you have two warring siblings, maintaining the hype is actually quite easy because people are always looking to them to see, hey, what's going on with Liam and Noel? What has Liam said on his Twitter feed? What has Noel done now in another interview? And bear in mind, these brothers are so enormously charismatic. They've delivered so many great interviews over the years. So it's actually not just the music in this case. The two brothers are themselves such amazing media entities, if you like. And I think that's actually a large part of what's maintained the music, because if you look at other bands from that era, like Blur, Elastica, Pulp, there were a lot of good songs made and released, and Radiohead, of course. But in a way, a lot of those bands have a quieter media presence. They're not arguing in the press, and they don't have the same brood of kids actually emerging, because the new generation, the Gallagher children are all on their social media as well. So they're actually fueling the Oasis hype too.
Unlike the Smiths, was there ever really any doubt that they were going to reunite, particularly given the money involved?
Well, honestly, a lot of people would have said that the money involved was a major factor. There have been painful,
I mean, they've got 58 million so far, isn't that right?
58 million so far, more dates added to the tour, and Noel Gallagher will absolutely clean up on this tour because he is the key songwriter for the band, but Liam Gallagher will do extremely well also. And I think, it's going to be ridiculously lucrative for them, and that's before you even talk about the merchandising. They have signed deals with the likes of Next, also Adidas, of course, very well known in association with Oasis. So there's so much money to be made. It's remarkable, really.
Bring it on or bring it on down. Nadine O'Regan, thank you very much for speaking to us. We'll have more Oasis later in the programme. Croke Park on an August weekend, sold out. No, not for All-Ireland semi-finals, but an All-Ireland band, well, sort of. The Manchester Mayo boys, Noel, Liam and Bonehead, back together for a supersonic fee at supernova prices, rocking through all the favourites, largely from the first two of their seven studio albums from the mid-1990s. Their first time here since Slain in 2009, shortly before they broke up, throwing fruit, a plum, I think, and a guitar at each other. Well, the years have fallen by like the rain, and 160,000 people are all set to live or relive their best days in the sunshine, as our reporter Sheila Nocton has been finding out.
Whatever, my favourite Oasis song.
Champion Supernova or The Master Plan.
Talk Tonight on Don't Look Back in Anger.
Wonderwall.
Supersonic.
I'd say Acquiesce, to be honest.
Seeing here in Wonderwall would be my moment of the night.
Live Forever.
Slide Away.
Best time of my life was with those kind of songs.
Yeah.
Young or old, every fan has their favourite Oasis song, and over the next 2 days, some will get the chance to hear them live. Noel and Liam Gallagher take to the stage in Croke Park tomorrow and Sunday to play to over 160,000 people, marking the end of their UK and Ireland leg of the tour. There's excitement, bucket hats, and many still desperately trying to get tickets. But this success doesn't happen overnight.
The first time I came across Noel, we were playing in Manchester. I mean, that was back in 92, and Oasis were rehearsing in the same building, so Noel just popped up to say hello. That was my first time actually meeting him.
Morty McCarthy, drummer with Sultans of Ping, sold merchandise for the Gallagher brothers in the early days and has fond memories of his Oasis journey.
They started to rise, but I mean, I don't think anyone would have predicted they were going to be, you know, one of the biggest bands in the world. You know, nobody had that kind of thinking. So their rise to fame was meteoric. So I started working for the merch company because I had a van. So my first show I did with them was actually Glastonbury in 1995. I just drove down, delivered the merch for them. And by then, you know, it was a big, big buzz on the band. But again, I don't think anybody could foresee a year later they'd be playing stadiums and the likes. I actually got to drive the truck home to Cork when they did the two shows in Páirc Uí Chaoimh back in 96. So, yeah, great times and fantastic to see them back again playing.
What was it about them, do you think, that pushed them over that threshold of success to huge worldwide global success?
Well, I think they were probably pretty unique. They were of the people, for the people. I mean, they were a real working class band. I think they just captured an audience that maybe hadn't been captured before.
Should all go to plan, with no fallouts, the initial 14 tour dates are estimated to earn the brothers over €58 million each. That's before their stops in North and South America, Asia and Australia. But they're not the only ones set to benefit. Here's Richard Guiney, CEO of Dublin Town.
I think there's two real benefits. The first is obviously the monetary benefit of people coming to Dublin, which we reckon be about 45, 50 million euro in spend in the city over that weekend, which, you know, additional spend, which is obviously very welcome. But also I think it's part of the reputation of Dublin. We do events very well. We had Taylor Swift last year, and I think that's all very important in terms of Dublin's reputation and, you know, the marketing of Dublin. You know, it's all part of, I think, the promotion of Dublin and what Dublin is really about, which is a good place to be for a weekend. And for a gig like this as well, the international visitors, quite often they will take in some of the attractions. So I reckon there'll be a few people down in the Guinness Storehouse and other locations.
The impact of the Champagne Supernovas doesn't stop there. Paul McKeever plays Noel Gallagher in the Oasis tribute band Live Forever.
The band started for us in 2010, 15 years now, this January we'll be gone. I got a couple of friends who are musicians. A friend of mine introduced me to Gavin, who's Liam Gallagher in the band. It just we had our first gig in our local pub, sold it out. We had a great gig and it just went from there.
Would you have been playing quite regularly before this? And then how have things been since the concerts were announced on the tour?
We were blessed that we kind of had the profile built up, especially just before COVID. Like, we sold out Vicar Street and the Cork Opera House. We've done some massive festivals playing with the likes of UB40 and Aslan and the Waterboys. So we were on a huge pedestal at that stage. But what I've noticed now, there is more demand. We're turning down more gigs than we ever have because we're just not able to do them. Like, we all work. What we've noticed is a lot more people are coming to the gigs, but they're a lot younger at the gigs. So the average age of the audience has dropped by probably a decade, I've noticed, since the reunion has been announced. But they know the words of every song. It's great to see, and it's for the longevity of it, like that kind of resurges it all for us, because now once you have young people coming to your shows, younger people coming, because the people are going buy tickets and travel to see festivals and stuff like that. So I think we certainly have a few more years left in us, yeah, because of this.
So, while some might say they spent a fortune on tickets, other fans say whatever, because they won't live forever. And if they weren't going, well, they might look back in anger. So here's what seeing Oasis live means to fans.
I mean, nerves are gone. Like, I'm dreaming about them every night for the past 4 weeks. I'm not exaggerating. Just make the most of being there, because it's probably never going to happen again.
I've listened to them for years and never thought I could go see them. A bit of drinking sure to go see them, to be honest.
Well, we grew up listening to them, so it's brilliant to go. We only got tickets like 2 weeks ago.
This is amazing, because this was bucket list and I wasn't sure if they'd ever get back together.
Oh, it's just great to go back to the 1990s and relive my youth. A great time to be alive, and just to relive that again would be great.
From I was a teenager, I just loved them, and now I'm nearly 40 and I can't wait to see them because I've never seen them before.
I'm really excited because they've been my favourite band for a good while.
Last I seen them in Slane, so the dream come true to go and see them again. Never thought it'd happen, so go with my girlfriend, so she gets lost in the crowd, nothing I can do about it. Have a good time.
Wonderwall, ending that report by Sheila Nocton. Tracy Clifford, RT 2FM presenter, is with us. And you're working there tomorrow, yes?
Yeah, we are. 2FM's going to be broadcasting live from 12 tomorrow, 12 to 2, Demi Mikey and then Graham and Emma, 3 to 6, at Croke Park, soaking up the atmosphere and feeling the energy. It's going to be absolutely electric.
Are you excited?
I'm so excited. I feel like this is a homecoming for this band, because we've watched two brothers sparring for 16 years and they're back together, and we're enjoying like the honeymoon period of Noel and Liam. And I feel like if you don't get to see this gig, I don't know whether you're going to get to see them again. Like, will it continue? We don't know.
People with tickets are really looking forward to this, but it is hard to get past the way the tickets were sold and priced. It was a disgrace.
Oh, it was an absolute disgrace. The whole dynamic pricing thing, when you think about it, I think that word even entered into the dictionary of last year. It was a scandal, really, when you think about it. When you think about it, like, UK governments and Irish governments had to launch investigations about it. Oasis say they had nothing to do with it, that they did not dictate the prices, and that it was like their Ticketmaster and those other sites. And what actually did come from it was that the tickets for US and Canada obviously weren't under dynamic pricing, but it was. And I even went on the resales to have a look at Ticketmaster during the week, refreshing. Pitch tickets, which usually would be, say, 100 quid, 70 quid to 100 quid, 571 euro for a pitch ticket, for one ticket. That's how much dynamic pricing raised the prices.
it's not 1996 anymore.
No.
We're not teenagers anymore. And they're not in the flush of their youth either. Can he still sing? Does it matter everyone's singing along?
Do you know what? I was at the gig in 1996 and I'm trying to bring myself back. The tickets, by the way.
It's the nostalgia, isn't it? It's the memories.
It's absolutely...
People thinking back to their youth.
Who doesn't like to live back in their youth, you know? I remember being at the 1996 gig. The ticket was £14.50. Like when you think
about
it.
That was the one of the point.
Yeah. That was the one of the point. And it's completely changed since then. Does it matter what they're going to sound like in voice? I'm not sure because, I mean, it's two brothers back together. Everybody wants to see Oasis. It's going to be one of the biggest middle-aged sing-songs, I think, that anybody's ever seen in Croke Park. Does it matter if the voice is not what it was 30 years ago? I don't think so.
We're all going.
Yeah, we are.
Yes, yeah. I'm going tomorrow. Can't wait.
I know too. You say it's middle-aged. But there are going to be a lot of young people there too.
And this is the thing. I was down at the Oasis merchandise shop and I couldn't get over the actually age profile. I think that's the recipe of a good song, isn't it?
And the amount of money being made from the merchandise.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I know. I remember having my Adidas top on in 1996. Yeah. It's actually the exact same style that's been on sale now.
Do you know what you're both wearing tomorrow?
Oh yeah. Well, bucket hats, of course.
I was just about to say bucket hats.
It's a bucket list gig and it's going to be bucket hats.
Of them around the city centre tomorrow.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Bows Oasis jersey for me. Tracy, thanks for coming in. By the way, well worth a listen tomorrow night here on RT Radio 1, especially if you're on the way to the concert. Fanling's Files at 6 p.m. with interviews recorded with and about the band by Dave over the years. Part 1 and 2 are also available on the player. Good luck and enjoy, everybody who's going. Minute to 9.